Okie dokie, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to call this meeting to order at 6:06 p.m. As always, we will begin with attendance. President Kuzmu.
Present.
Vice President Schellen.
Present.
Vice President Woods.
Yep.
Vice President Lay.
Present.
Vice President Lau.
Present.
Governor Kelly.
Present.
Councillor Battelle.
Present.
Councillor Borden.
Present.
Councillor Mills. Councillor Hanwell.
Present.
Councillor Bannister.
I'm a proxy.
Oh, could I grab your name?
John. Okay.
Here, do you want to spell that for me right to...
Okay, I can do that.
Cool. Thank you. Councillor Schiavone. Councillor Mohammed. Thank you. Councillor Grulke. Councillor Minarski. Councillor Valdez. Councillor Corbett. Councillor Redmond. Councillor Hamid. Councillor Morse. Councillor Nguyen. Probably sorry. Councillor Champagne. Thank you. Councillor Speakman. I believe Councillor Speakman was going to join us by Skype, but I'm not sure if she's here yet. Okay, not here. Councillor Hodgson.
Present.
Councillor Huang.
Present.
Councillor Zhang.
Present.
Councillor Grehan.
Present.
Councillor Binchik.
Present.
Councillor Douglas.
Yep.
Mr. Dumichel. Okay, just before we get going, a couple announcements. Just one note on meeting room for fall term. We are actually, and this was corrected in the late ads, we are in the room opposite to this, so 018. We couldn't actually get this room booked for the fall term. It's the identical room, except exit stage right instead of stage left, or excuse me, stage left instead of stage right, but it's just on the other side of the auditorium on this floor. So we will be here for this meeting and the next meeting, and then come September we will be in that other room. A reminder, I sent you an email last night about this, but just the deadline to resign and have that seat open for the by-election is this Thursday. Not that I want to see any of you go, but if for some reason you are going to be resigning, I would encourage you to do it before that deadline so that that position could be contested in the by-election. Also, you just received an email from me a few minutes before this meeting about the Council Scholarship. It's that time of year. For those of you that don't know, every trimester we have a scholarship program where we have two $500 scholarships that we give to two well-deserving members of council. I've emailed all the details out along with a PDF copy of the form. There is a bunch of paper copies of the form here. Apparently, I can't count days or read standing orders properly. For some reason, I was thinking we did the vote on the first meeting of the next trimester. We're actually supposed to do it on the last meeting, but because that would give us not very much time, I'm going to push the whole thing back a week this time, so I'm going to extend the nomination deadline until the end of next meeting. So you can get them in paper to me then, or you can drop them off to 2900 any time before then. And then we will have the vote on the very first meeting in September. I think it's September 10th. So if you have any questions about that, please let me know, but I would encourage you to nominate as many people as you think are deserving of it. Couple notes on agenda changes, etc. Minor grammatical correction on item 6A on the main order paper. We're going to scratch the extra on there, so it says moves that upon the recommendation instead of upon on the recommendation. Minor grammatical correction. Item 7A I'm deeming to be of time sensitivity, so I'm going to move that onto the main agenda package to be dealt with at the relevant time. As well, item 7A, there's a correction. It currently reads, appoints two SU counselors, when instead it should read, appoints two members of council. For those of you that aren't familiar with the difference, the executives and Governor Kelly are not counselors, but they are members of council. And so there is a more difference between the two phrasings, and so we're just making that correction. Other than that, I believe that's all I have for speaker's business, so we will begin with our agenda package. We have no presentations on the agenda package this week, so we will move directly into we will move directly to that nomination that takes place immediately following presentations. Binchik Hodson moved to appoint 2 members of council to the council engagement task force. Councillor Binchik, would you care to introduce?
Tell
me,
I would be interested in that. A task force that we complement the our efforts that we'll be going through this is going on to attack. So this one will be more formal and will mostly be dealing with the bylaws and policies that we need. I definitely encourage you all of you to join, especially if you are interested in improving the student needs and counselor engagement.
Thank you, Councillor Binchik. Before any questions, Councillor Binchik, I'm actually going to ask a question because I just want clarification on this. Correct me if I'm wrong, was this one of the task forces we created that people that were being nominated through other routes weren't eligible to be nominated at the council route, or is that incorrect? President Kuzmu, could you maybe answer that as well?
I was just going to say, according to the terms of reference, it said that if you're a member of IRC or CAC, there's... if you're going to be selected by Students' Council, you can't be a permanent member of CAC or a member of IRC.
Okay, so thank you for that clarification. So again, if you were a permanent member of CAC or a member of IRC, you would be able to stand for nomination at those committees for those committee representatives. So at this point, we're looking for individuals that aren't either members of either of those 2 committees for nominations. With that, are there any other questions before we open the floor to nominations? Councilor Patel? Councillor Binchik? Okay, Councillor Hutt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Are execs allowed to fill the council seat?
Don't there an answer to this? President Kuzmu? No? Okay. So, again, to clarify, not a member of the executive committee, not a permanent member of the council administration committee, and not a member of the elections review committee. Any other questions? Seeing none, we will open the floor to nominations. We are looking for 2 nominations. Councillor Binchik?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Hodgson.
Sorry, Councillor Hodgson? Councillor Hodgson, do you accept?
I respectfully decline.
Okay, further nominations, Councillor Hodgson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to nominate Councillor Binchik.
Councillor Binchik?
I respectfully decline.
Going in circles here, Councillor Nguyen.
I'd like to nominate myself.
I assume you accept. Vice President Lay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to nominate Councillor Bannister.
Typically, if we were going to... basically, we wouldn't normally allow nominations for someone that's not here unless they've either indicated to you that they want to, or if they've indicated to their proxy, if their proxy is prepared to accept on their behalf. Yeah.
What is the role that you would be accepting?
It would be a voting member of the Council Engagement Task Force, so a subcommittee of council, or a task force of council. So
I respectfully decline.
Okay. Yeah, typically, unless they've indicated their interest, it would probably be best to decline. And again, if someone isn't here, I would normally not allow it unless they've indicated to someone that they would like to stand for nominations. Councillor Binchik?
Thank you for your support to the nomination.
Okay, you now accept. Okay. Any further nominations? President Kuzman?
Councillor Greenham?
I'm sorry?
Can I nominate Councillor Greenham?
Councillor Greenham is... Councillor Greenham is here. Okay, further nominations? Councillor Nguyen? Councillor Zing? he respectfully declined, thank you. Further nominations? President Kuzman?
Councillor Huang?
Councillor Huang?
I respectfully decline.
Okay. We shouldn't do nominations while food is going on everywhere. Anyway, further nominations? Vice President Woods.
Councillor Hanwell.
Councillor Hanwell.
Okay.
Further nominations. Vice President Woods.
Councillor Borden.
Councillor Borden. Sorry? Yes. Councillor Borden is on CAC as a permanent member and therefore ineligible. I will remind council that there are two vacancies and we have two names standing for... thought you might give me that look. That being said, still encouraging further nominations. Vice President Chung.
My apologies, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to nominate Councillor Redmond.
Councillor Redmond.
I second your
nomination. Okay, thank you. Further nominations? Councillor Nguyen. I'm going to disallow that, but if you care to nominate anyone in particular, feel free. Any further nominations? Seeing... Councillor Hodgson.
What's the membership of IRC?
That's a good question. Is anyone on IRC in a faster position to be able to answer that? Yes, Councillor Zane.
The current members for IRC is me, Councillor Bannister, Councillor Speakman, and Councillor Williams. On the board, she's been doing this.
I thought I had this in front of me, but I'm not sure I do. Nicole, can I get a for this meeting a copy of meetings or committee
reports? Corbett.
Thank you. Councillor Corbett, thank you. Further nominations, Councillor Graham?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Champagne.
Councillor Champagne, do you accept?
I respectfully decline.
Thank you. Further nominations? Vice President Lau.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Douglas.
I'm sorry?
Councillor Douglas.
Councillor Douglas. Thank you. Further nominations? Seeing no nominations. So, Councillor Hodgson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to nominate Councillor Minarski.
Councillor Minarski, do you accept?
I don't think I'm eligible.
Are you permanent on CAT? Yes. Okay. Further nominations? Vice President Chellen?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Patel.
Councillor Patel, do you accept? At this point, I may encourage members of council to nominate people that they feel might have interest in, not surely just going around the room nominating people. But that being said, you're free to nominate whoever you like. Mr. I'm sorry, I forget your last name. Sorry?
McCook.
Okay, Mr. McCook.
May I make a motion to acclaim because we have two volunteers?
In fact, when the nominations close, that person would be acclaimed on. Those people would be acclaimed automatically. Now, in a normal motion, you would call to question. Nominations are dealt with a little bit differently, so I would strongly discourage. In fact, I would probably disallow a call to question. That being said, as I said earlier, I would discourage dilatory nominations. Any further nominations? Seeing none, I'm closing nominations before any other hands go up. Congratulations to Councillor Nguyen and Councillor Bingham. Okay, with that, we move on to executive committee reports. Any executives that wish to give an oral report? Vice President Woods.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to first start off by making a small apology. I accidentally clicked the wrong file when sending you all my council reports. You all received my policy report. Nonetheless, that has probably 85% of what I intended to report to you guys on. Anyways, I would just make two oral additions. The first that I met with MLA Naresh Bardwaj last week. We had a pretty good conversation. I only got onto the first issue on my lobbying document for the cause lobby document, which is the PSLA. I met this at his constituency office. I went alone, which in retrospect was fun, but I wouldn't do it next time. He wanted to debate me. We had a good debate about the PSLA. It was actually like a blast because he just, every time I brought up a point, he would like challenge me, and you could tell he was kind of having fun with it. So that's good relationship building right there. I also met with MLA Sohail Quadri today. That was a brief but very productive meeting. Just essentially said that he agrees with us in the majority of our lobby document asks and will help move our agenda forward with the PSLA. I meet with the Honorable Speaker Jean Zbedeski tomorrow and the Honorable Lori Kahn, Member of Parliament, the week after. So things are starting to get busy here, but nonetheless are going quite well. I will be putting out, sending out an email regarding the external advocacy team in the next little while here. Now that my meetings are starting to heat up, if any of you are in fact interested in getting some training and eventually coming with me to these meetings where we talk to MLAs and MPs, I would be more than happy to have you. So information on that will be coming out later. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask them. And thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Further exec, we're in exec reports right now, unless this is a point of probe. Those aren't accepted during reports, instead you would ask a question. Any other exec reports? Vice President Lau?
So again, I mentioned earlier, a lot of the work I'm doing now is around council outreach and such. I sent out an email earlier with the spreadsheet that would have all the opportunities available. One piece I'd like to focus on right now with a tighter timeline is the week of welcome tacky practice, because we have to order the t-shirts soon, because it takes time for printing. And anyone that has yet to register online won't be receiving a t-shirt unless they do over the next few days. We currently only have 8 people signed up. So I just want to clarify, you know, if there's some of you that aren't looking to volunteer, that's okay, but I just want to clarify that anyone just needs a reminder. Here it is. And hope to see you there.
Thank you. Any other exec reports? Seeing none, we will move on to board and committee reports. Any board and committee reports? Vice President Lay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My report is from GAC, the Grant Allocation Committee, and GAC had approved most of the amount of the Golden Bear kind of legacy fund from the 2012-2013 year. So, yeah, we got, or that was like a process that's been on the hold for about a year. So, it's a big weight off my shoulders. And we're preparing relationships between athletics and the student team.
Thank you. Any further board and committee reports? Seeing none, we will move into question period. Any questions? Councillor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for Vice President Woods. I'm curious what process has been made on the municipal election front.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At this point, it is a bit of a slow process, but nonetheless, we are making progress. I meet with the City of Edmonton people this upcoming Thursday, along with the representatives from Nate and Grant Mack, just as a means of addressing the on-campus polling stations. The questionnaire has been finished from our end. I'm just waiting for Grant Mack and Nate to finish their portion of the questionnaire. It'll be sent to candidates very soon here so that they can fill it out and we can put it on the website. The website is currently still in design phases for it, but that is also being moved on. We have confirmation from candidates Diot and Iveson that they will be attending the municipal forum at Grant McEwen University. We're still waiting on Mrs. Lidiachi, Karen, to RSVP back to us so that we can have her. I will be sending out correspondences to each of them in the next few days here so that we can schedule a lobby meeting and talk about some of our asks. Overall, I would say it's slow, but progress is being made. We still have a few months here. I think most importantly, the planning stages, such as getting everything concreted out as to how we want to go about things in the questionnaire itself, is complete, and we're getting responses from candidates, so we'll likely have all 3 since Diot and Iveson are both attending. I doubt I can't pronounce her name at all. Karen will RSVP very soon here, and overall, things are going well. And hopefully, did that answer your question?
Thank you. Councillor Hanwell?
Sorry, I'm mid-bite. Just a question for Vice President Lau. I missed the tail end of the sign-up sheet. Do you mind going over that again? What's it for and where we can find it?
It was a link.
Vice President Lau? Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks. It was a link that was sent out in emails earlier. It's the spreadsheet where the first sheet is our instructions. And the second sheet is like a checklist of all the opportunities that are available. So it's just a reminder that, well, first off, for counselor photos, sub photo will be open again on the 19th, I believe. So if anyone hasn't done their photos yet, either book your meetings ASAP or don't be on the, or your picture won't be on the banner, I guess. Besides that, then the legal welcome packet breakfast is really urgent because if we don't have a set number of t-shirts to print, then like, I don't want any counselors volunteering and not having a t-shirt.
Point of invitation. When is the deadline to get your council t-shirt?
Something like a few days ago. Oh, t-shirt? 15th. August 15th. Which is this Thursday. And after this council meeting, we'll get a few laptops set up, so if anyone wants to do that, I will get it signed up here.
Thank you. Councillor Battelle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for President Kuzu. On August 7th, there was a report in the Edmonton Journal around the bios that the university is thinking about doing to solve some of the budget issues. And the report said that university officials say they recently had it signaled to them informally that their three-year plan, which is still not been officially reviewed and accepted, wasn't going to be fast enough. I was wondering if the university really did get that information and if you have any thoughts or have heard anything about this.
President Kuzma?
Yeah. So in talking to university administrators, okay, how about we review the facts? The university's CIP, Comprehensive Institutional Plan, so that's pretty much like their budget, etc., they sent it to the ministry quite a while ago, and it's yet to actually be approved. I didn't really worry about that, because that's kind of like their three-year plan on how to actually deal with the deficit. So as of yet, there's no formal notice from the ministry as to whether that three-year plan has been rejected or not. But when we are talking to university administrators, what we are hearing is that the minister has informally told them that he wants this to kind of be sped up. And in a meeting with the president, she kind of indicated to us that, he wants this done in a year or so. There's just like a lot of confusion, because there's like a lot of informal that she was informally communicated to. That this should be done in a year, but at the same time, they never got formal confirmation as to whether their CIP has been approved or not. So it's been a really confusing time as to what exactly is going on. And I think a large part of it has to do with the minister and the ministry needing to actually like figure out if they're going to approve or not. And it's in our best interests, I believe, that this three-year plan does get approved, because it gives us time to deal with the budget cuts, rather than just kind of hacking away in 1 year. So that's like a pretty large concern that we actually have right now. But yeah, the minister and the ministry is a good question.
Thank you. Councillor Winarski.
This question is for Vice President Lau. For the councillors that haven't taken their photos yet and who can't go during like the regular hours of operation, is there any way that we can get our photos done after hours, like before or after a council meeting?
Vice President Lau?
Yeah, they have been, some people have been pretty supportive of that as well. If you give them a call and let them know one time, they could stop by as well. I think if it was before a council meeting, say around 5 or 5:30, they could accommodate for that. Give them a call and try to set up arrangements like that. I have received emails from two councillors that are out of town. For them, I've sent them a sample photo of a few of us. We told them what the pictures will look like so that they could try to set up a similar photo shoot type thing on their own. So that they won't look too.
Do the photos need to be like professional? Are they like portraits?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And I'd also like to defer to.
Oh, you just snuck it in there.
If there are other counselors who can make the original topics that are working, if you can coordinate with each other just for the interests of Michael, the photographer, so he doesn't have to say that for multiple days. So I guess if anyone is looking to do it after hours or after regular business hours, contact Council of Minarski, and then you guys can contact Michael together.
Thank you. Councilor Binch.
To all the executives, but probably President Kuzma will answer it. So. I'm just wondering if it would be possible for the executive team to compose a presentation of what you learned at a conference whenever you do go to a major conference, so that if you are inspired, you can pass on the ideas to us and you can throw off that energy yourself.
Thank you. Before I let President Kuzma respond, this is actually a great opportunity to also remind both Council and the Executive of standing order. Give me one moment here. Standing Order 10-2 that says executive officers will submit reports to Students' Council no later than 2 meetings of Students' Council after any conference is attended. Now, that wasn't quite the same question answered or asked, so I'll allow President Kuzma to answer.
Yeah, that's going to be my exact response, actually, that we are going to be submitting a conference report to Students' Council, reporting on kind of the things that we learned. But besides that, if there's any specific questions you kind of want to ask us, we can go ahead and put your question here. So, yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Borden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for Vice President Lau. What are those t-shirts that we're going to say?
Vice President Lau.
It's a great question. So on the front, there's going to be the Legal Welcome logo. So that's a W. And the O is like a lightsaber. And there's another W for welcome. And it says 2013 under that. And then under that, it says it's Students' Council. So it almost makes it look like it's saying, wow, it's Students' Council. And on the back of the t-shirt, it will say Students' Union Counselor and have a SU thing on the back.
Thank you.
And the color we've selected is kind of like a kiwi green.
Point of information, who are the 8 counselors that are currently registered? I don't know if I did.
The 8 councillors that are currently registered are Councillor Intermillion, Councillor Milonarski, Councillor Hodgson, Councillor Blaine,
okay.
Councillor Grahan, Councillor Beanchick, Councillor Bannister, and Councillor Battelle.
Point of information. Didn't you say that they're
going to
have the faculty and our name or something on the t-shirt?
Something that we discussed briefly at exec right now for individual faculty and names will be $1 a letter. So for, and that's going to be individual prints because any print quantity both under 12 has to be done separately. So we talked about this before and in exec and even in previous t-shirts was never labeled both counselor or anything at all. So we decided it was one step up and we just probably try to work on an order earlier for future years for greater customization.
Thank you. Councillor Graham?
I have a question for President Kuzma. So you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I was reading in Metro that the university's bias or whatever violate their collective agreement with the unions, because it's like they have to consult those unions before like implementing that kind of plan. Just wondering if you could comment on that.
Yeah. And actually, before President Kuzma comments, I forgot to mention I had a request over Skype that if people could talk a little bit louder, they're having a little bit of trouble hearing quieter folks. So.
Yeah, sure. So the ASHWA, Academic Staff Association of the UVA, they are making the case that the violence is violating the contracts that they actually have, the collective agreements that they actually have with the institution. In terms of whether they have violated it or not, I haven't, I'm not like a lawyer, so I can't make like a good judgment call. But the university's argument is that they said, there's precedent of them doing that in the past when they faced a similar situation, and that ASHWA didn't necessarily make a stink about it last time it happened. So I think that's like I read that was kind of like the university's response. And, it seems like a pretty interesting response, I guess. But yeah.
Thank you, President Kuzma.
I was wondering if I could ask actually. Sorry, it's been such a long time since I've actually asked someone else a question. I have a question for Councillor Gerkel. Am I saying it
right? No.
I know what you're
saying.
Okay.
I don't want to answer your question.
I was wondering if the Councillor could comment on her recent encounter with the Ministry of Enterprise and Advanced Education. With the Minister.
So our dean, Robert Santa, set up a meeting with the deputy premier and Berlin Olsen, who is the Camrose. Thank you. And originally, ASA was not invited at all to be as part of the student representation at these meetings. It was only supposed to be 4 selected research assistants that were going. But the dean kind of put his foot down and invited Jane, who's our president, and I along to the meeting. It was half an hour. they talk, a lot of it was spent talking about Campus Alberta and just them talking to us. They asked briefly about market modifiers, and I was the only student in the room that actually knew what they were, so that preceded another 5 minutes of explaining what they were. No one really, one of the student researchers commented on it saying that that he didn't like the idea. I didn't really say anything at all to the, he brought up the fact that PSLA is going to be up for negotiation again and asked if there was anything that we felt that should be talked about, and one of the consensus about among all of us was that international students should get more, like, it's a sticky situation, but it should be looked at about international student tuition. He then asked me directly if I thought that international students were, how did he phrase it? Something like, were international students good for Augustana? And I kind of went on a 30-second rant about how yes, and we have a higher than average international student rate based on our enrollment, so it was a lot of him talking to us rather than vice versa. So it went well, but yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for Vice President Woods. I was wondering if a get-out-the-vote campaign had been considered for the municipal election at all, and if not, why not?
Mr. President?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, actually, the collaboration between us, Nate, and Grant Mack has said that some light get-out-the-vote efforts will be done. We're not going to go to the same extent we did for the provincial election. However, with that being said, we are going to do a general postering campaign. I will likely want to have some volunteers, just given that we'll have a voting booth and sub that will be hopefully directing students in that general direction. So my goal is to hopefully have everybody on campus know that if they're an Edmontonian and want to vote in the municipal election, they can go to sub. But as for the same walking around getting names and phone numbers, we will not be conducting that. However, hopefully through postering and media efforts, we'll be able to get it known across campus that you can vote in sub and that this is happening, and we should yield a good result from that. So, thank you. However, if you feel that more is needed, feel free to come talk to me in my office sometime. I'd be more than happy to entertain anybody who'd like to discuss this or any other thing that I work on. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we have had 15 minutes left in question periods, so we will close question period unless I see 5 placards to extend.
Point of information.
Councillor Hodgson?
How many people are on the speaker's list?
There are 2 on the speaker's list currently. I see more than 5 placards, so we will extend for another 15 minutes. Councillor Battelle?
Sorry, that was just a point of comment.
Oh, okay. Okay. Make that 1. Councillor Vinchik? President Chong.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The question. So I followed up with the senior advisor to the president about a week ago. Thanks for reminding me. I'll follow up again to see the status of the GSC review committee. The president himself has been really unresponsive around the progress of the GSC review task force. Well, we should provide an update to report to see if it's going anywhere, and hopefully that they took at least one or took the from the SCU's recommendation. It's too bad that the SCU isn't involved in the process, but hopefully they took a revision.
Thank you. Councillor Graham?
I have a question for Councillor Hodgson. I was wondering if you could give us an update on the DFU review task force.
Councillor Hodgson?
I'll defer my speaking term to Vice President Lane.
Personally.
Thank you, Councillor Hodgson. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm drafting an email, going to send it out to the DFUs. It's not either tomorrow. And then everything will go your way.
Thank you, Councillor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for President Kuzma. I was curious, in your report, you talked about preparing feedback on the draft MOU. But you said that's not in a finalized format, but the deadline's Thursday, so I'm just wondering what's your timeline for that, and
what is the SU's feedback so far on the draft MOU?
Yeah, so we have a document, but we're just trying to have all the other folks around the table. Like myself, Dustin, I believe Adam, and one of the other staff members just review it, but it's pretty much there. We're basing it a lot off of the previous letter that the SU submitted to the university regarding our thoughts and where the MOU, what the MOU should look like. And we're also basing it off of the original, funny enough, the original MOU that the government proposed to the university. So a lot of our recommendations is actually saying, no, well, we told you we wanted this part, like, in your MOU. We'd like that to be added back in. Or the minister said he wanted to increase the level of student engagement governance. We don't want you just to maintain it, so put that back in. So that's kind of like the brunt of our feedback. But yeah, it's a pretty tight deadline we had to work with. So yeah, it'll be complete in time. And we'll be sure to send it to council when we're done with it. If you folks have any immediate feedback on the MOU or any thoughts on it, please send it over so we can try and include it. But yeah, sorry we've had to work pretty quickly on it. But thanks for the question.
Is that another question? Or okay. Yeah, Council.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a follow-up question for President Kuzma. Just curious, I read both MOUs, but it's been a while, that's not my job. So what was the difference between the university's draft and what the government sent out in regards to like our wants and asks? And also, would you be sending our feedback on the university's MOU to the government as well?
Yeah, so I'll answer your second question first. We've been toying with that thought, and I think we've decided that we are going to be sending it to the government as well. I think we're talking about how we were going to do that. But yeah, we are going to be sending it to the government. In addition to that, the main difference is that off the top of my head, and hopefully Vice President Shellen and Vice President Woods can assist me if I'm missing something else, which I probably will be. One of the main things that bugged me was the language surrounding student government involvement. That's something that this minister has been particularly interested in. And in the university's MOU, they said maintain student participation in governance, which is pretty much the weakest phrase that anyone could ever like write. Whereas the government said increase the level of student participation. So that's one of the wording that we're proposing. Some of the other wording that we have is also talking about the institution, like how, for instance, you know, the university says that, you know, the government needs to provide funding for the institution. One of our proposals is that the government needs to provide predictable and stable funding for the institution. So it's really us just changing a couple words here and there. It's just some pretty short two pages. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't know if there's anything else Vice President Chellen and Woods would like that. If they do, I can defer to them. I defer to Vice President Chellen.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker, for the question. The letter that the government issued was a letter of expectation. The university responded with a memorandum of understanding. It is notably weaker. It doesn't include metrics for transferability. Mm-hmm. For example, it also didn't include a commitment to developing lower cost academic materials or greater online opportunities. And so that's one of the other things that the SU was recommending we included. The new MOU does include a number of other pieces. The University of Alberta specific section, CARI specific section, which is the Comprehensive of Academic and Research Institution section, and the university wide section. So I suspect it will undergo a number of changes before it's finally approved. For those of you that are sitting on general faculties council as well, you'll have an opportunity to give feedback at the first meeting of the year.
Thank you. Councillor Singh?
So I have a question for Vice President Mao. So one of the top news today in the CBC and Edmonton Journal was the suspension that was lifted of the Delta Kappa episode on student group. And my question is, why the suspension on this particular student group was lifted 2 years earlier than expected?
Vice President Lau?
That's a great question. That's something that the SU didn't have too much of a say in. That was a decision made by the Dean of Students Office. However, I did have a conversation that even seemed to try to understand their perspective. Norma, who's the Student Affairs Officer and the student, spoke on how the geeks kind of surpassed the data students' expectations in regards to philanthropy and volunteer hours. Also, stating that they've been really collaborative over the past 2 years in fulfilling the Dean of Students' asks. Along with that, the Dean of Students wanted to show support in the sense that they're in favor of giving second chances, and that even right now, even though the suspension is being lifted, they're still under provision, and so there's still constraints held against them. And they found it to make a good and hopefully smooth transition towards regaining their normal status.
Thank you. Any further questions? Seeing no further questions, we will close question period. And that brings us on to board and committee business. Item 7A, Chellen Hanwell moved that upon the recommendation of the policy committee, the quality instruction policy be approved in second reading. And again, the specific changes. So remember, in second reading, we're actually dealing with the specific technical changes. In first reading, we dealt with the principles. So the specific changes are on the attached document. Vice President Chellen to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So first of all, I'll apologize to Council that the changes in the quality instruction policy didn't seem to be tracked in the version that you see before you. But my hope is that Mr. Speaker will bring up the actual prior changes, which I said before the meeting.
One moment.
So sorry for that technical glitch. Remember 2 meetings ago, we approved a set of first principles around the quality instruction policy. Those were the instruction refers to the teaching and learning involving instructors. But the state of technology and interdisciplinarity don't relate to the objectives of the policy. But the SU should advocate for more mandatory and improved instructor professional development activities, especially those focused on communication. That the SU should advocate for mid-semester formative feedback opportunities, and that an effective teaching evaluation mechanism is psychometrically valid and has available results. And I think that policy committee has translated those here in what you see before you.
Okay, I'm just going to scroll to this point because nothing above this was changed. So, perfect. Okay, with that, any debate? And again, debate in second reading is confined to the technical merits. I'll read exactly what it says. Debate is confined to the technical merits of whether the committee properly interpreted the principles passed in first reading. Any debate? Councilor Greenhack?
Can you zoom in for
me? Sure. There we go. Thanks. I'm not good with these fandangled computers. Let's see if I can put the on. Here we go. So then I'll bring it down a little further. There, I think we got all the changes on one page. So I'll give folks a minute to read those just again because there was some confusion in the original document. But at the same time, I will open debate, so if anyone wishes to debate, feel free to raise your hand. Mr. Hodgson?
I think, Mr. Speaker, not so much the point of debate, but if the Vice President Academic could just speak a little bit more to why these specific changes were warranted and refresh my memory from the last meeting, that would be great.
While people are still reading, while we're going in debate, just a friendly reminder to folks from Policy Committee that it's generally preferred to also include the original principles in the second reading motion, just so we have both to compare to. But I'm sure, again, if you are unclear on what they were, a question could be thrown to the floor, and I'm sure members of Policy Committee would be happy to answer that for you. Any further debate? Vice President Chellen?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I won't tackle the merits of the changes. That's sort of what we talked about last time. But what I will do is link each of the five principles to the actual changes. So first principle, that instruction refers to teaching and learning involving instructors. So you see the very first change, changes from pedagogical practice to teaching and learning practice. And all cases of professors are changed to the word instructor. Second principle, that the state of technology and interdisciplinarity don't relate to the objectives of the policy. You see the second whereas clause on your screen eliminated. Third principle, that the SU should advocate for more mandatory and improved instructor professional development activities, especially those focused on communication, is seen in the fourth paragraph below, as well as the fifth paragraph, which includes demonstrating teaching professional development activities and emphasizes mandatoriness of teaching professional development activities. Fourth principle, that SU should advocate for mid-semester formative feedback formative feedback opportunities, second paragraph from the bottom, and that an effective teaching evaluation mechanism is psychometrically valid and has available results in the last paragraph. That's what we translated the principles.
Any further debate? Does anyone, I'm about to go to a vote. If anyone hasn't had enough time to read the whole thing, just rise on point of privilege and I'll stop in the meantime. Actually, we have more debate. Councillor Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was just wondering if anyone in the councillors on policy committee could just speak to what they debated about this and just comment on it. Not looking for a point of contention, but just a comment would be nice.
Point of parliament. That's not a question.
I think that was just debating.
You
can throw a question onto the floor if you will. So you can't direct a question the same way you can in question period. So it's not like question and answer sort of thing like it is in question period. But you can certainly sort of throw a question out there. And if someone chooses to use their debate period in the future to answer it, then they're free to do so. Councillor Battelle?
If you want to scroll just to the top there, we have a policy on the policy committee. We have a task force that deals with each policy and they look into it in depth, and then we bring it back to our meetings and we discuss it. So exactly like what Dustin said, we went through every principle and we made sure that it reflected, that it's reflected in the second reading and in the changes.
You, Councillor Graham?
I just thought I would make a quick note that I still disagree with the removal of the whereas interdisciplinary clause. And I understand, like, argument or whatever. Yeah.
Vice President Chellen?
Mr. Speaker, are you allowing debate on those principles?
That point is well taken. I would remind Councillor Graham that debate in second reading is confined to technical merits. Vice President Lau.
So to address Councillor Hodgson's question, there wasn't too much debate in regards to the edits that would be. However, I did raise a point that touched upon the whereas clause regarding interdisciplinary education was crossed out, and we did have a chat in policy committee about how our role in policy committee is to go through the translation from the principal into the wording of the policy. And whereas the wording of the rest of the policy would reflect the principles that were passed in council, a change regarding council's stance on interdisciplinary education would have to be brought forward after he sent the circuit as a new edit or a new motion.
Thank you, Vice President Woods.
Mr. Speaker, call to question.
Is there any other speakers that wish to speak? Seeing none, I will just move to call to question automatically. So, item 7A, Channel Hanwell moved that upon the recommendation of Policy Committee, the quality instruction policy be approved in second reading. All those in favor?
Not.
Any opposed? That motion carries. With that, we are on to item 6B. Councillor Greenhead?
Can you also have oppositions noted, like abstentions?
No. The only way you could do that is if you were to call for division. Okay? Which you it's now, unfortunately, too late to do that for the last motion, but you are free to call for division at any point, in which case everybody's vote would be noted. Moving on to item 6B, Shellen Woods moved that upon the recommendation of the Policy Committee, the Students and Governance Policy be approved in first reading based on the following principles. 1. Students are best represented by other students. 2. The university has a number of undergraduate student representatives as part of their governance structure. 3. Student representative activities add to the workload of the normal... Sorry, I'm getting cut off here. I think it says the normal student. What is that? Can someone from the policy committee help me out?
Yes.
The workload of the normal student. Thank you.
What a order, Mr. Speaker.
Vice President Woods.
I was just curious how the Speaker intends to address the amendment which falls right after this initial...
You jumped the gun on me. I will indeed discuss that point. I'm going to just read the question and then I will proceed directly to that. Point 4, students in governance should be treated fairly and equitably. 5, students in governance should have access to training, support, and academic accommodations when representative duties conflict with classes. 6, student representative positions should not be eliminated. 7, the students' union should actively promote the necessity and value of including undergraduate student representatives in university decision-making. The students' union, I don't know if this is supposed to be point 8, the students' union should endeavor to increase student participation in university governance, especially for underrepresented groups. It doesn't really matter whether it's numbered or not, it's a principle on there. So, actually, before I get to that, I apologize, I wasn't looking up at Skype when I took that last vote. Councillor Mohammed, did you want that abstention noted? Yes, okay. So... Nicole, if you could note that abstention on item 6A. To get to Vice President Wood's point, as you'll note on the late additions, there was a written amendment, if you will, that was added. Normally speaking, we wouldn't include subsidiary motions like amendments or motions to postpone indefinitely or refer to a committee or whatever else, you know, to table the next meeting or any other sort of subsidiary motions on the order paper. I believe that the intent behind this was to provide a proposed motion that the movers plan to move in advance to better prepare members of council, which I have no problem with, and in fact would encourage, particularly if you know you're going to be bringing forward a substantial amendment. That being said, I won't automatically introduce subsidiary motions. So this is sort of here. It's not actually being dealt with right now. You can, for all intents and purposes, sort of pretend it's not here right now. That being said, I'm working under the assumption that Councillor Mills and or Vice President Challen are going to soon into debate introduce said amendment, and that would go for any subsidiary motion that appeared on the order paper. Another method of doing this could also just be to send an email out to all of council beforehand. This is certainly an acceptable method as well. So with that, on the original motion we're dealing with right now, item 6B, Vice President Challen to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So way back in November 2012, the presidents of all of the faculty associations were asked to determine their priorities for the year. Number 1 was budget. Number 2 was equitable involvement of student representatives at all levels of governance. So we tasked the COPA advocacy working group to think about how best to do that, and they suggested that policy committee developed a political policy that would say the SU's views and its efforts to enhance the effectiveness of student representatives at all levels of university governance. Policy committee dug through the various barriers that were impacting students. I prepared a discussion paper which policy committee read, and then with the help of Councillor Mills, who was a member of the task force, the review committee, we brought this to policy committee, and they're recommending
the creation of a political policy based on the principles of party. So, all I have to introduce.
Thank you. Any debate? And again, reminder that I'll permit a little bit of debate before I'll take amendments if there are there is any debate. Any debate? Vice President Woods.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just like to just say in general first to speak in very much favor of this policy. Before I took on this role, I was a GFC Arts representative. I was the student at large seat on the Executive Committee of General Faculty Council. And I think my experience on the committee was one of the big reasons, as well as many other student representatives and their experiences over the past 3 or 4 years as to why this policy is being made now today and is up for it's up on the agenda. I think that this policy very much covers the wide range of issues that student representatives face when sitting on university governance committees. And I know for a fact that I would have felt much more confident as a representative on the executive committee had I had this policy been there before. I'd also like to say that the academic has put a phenomenal amount of work on this. This wasn't just a this is something that he initially thought of last year, has been working for a long time on, and I'm very much looking forward to it being passed this evening. So,
thank you. Any further debate? Not Councillor Graham.
I'm just wondering for point six if that's the best way of phrasing it, not like a technical sense, but just like should not be eliminated. It's like negative rather than positive. So I'm wondering if the students' union would be better served by having it be like we should increase the amount of student representative positions, or I don't know if that's something that was considered, or maybe if someone wants to. There's a particular rationale for why it was that way. That'd be cool. And my second, just wondering if someone can talk a little bit about number four, which seems really obvious. But I'm just wondering if someone from the committee can talk about what they see as fairness and equity. People have different definitions of what fairness and equity are.
Thank you. Before I continue on with debate, I believe Councillor Mills wanted to make that amendment that we referred to on the late ads. Yes, that's the case that she's giving there. So just to say, Councillor Mills having to do this, basically just Councillor Mills, and I'm assuming seconded by Vice President Chellen still, are moving to make that amendment on the late ads. So basically to add two new principles. Let's just, to avoid confusion here, because the last one wasn't numbered, just pretend those two numbers weren't there. They're not necessarily significant to the principles themselves. Councillor Mills to introduce.
Thank you. So these two principles, they are imperative, so they just help with the policy. In my experience working
I'm going to cut you off there, Councillor Mills. I think you're actually encroaching into debate. But what I can do now is open the floor to debate and give you the first chance to debate.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
So these do seem to be almost intuitive in how faculty and department associations operate, but having them included in a policy of this nature will only help us in our discussions with faculty and department members into the value of how student associations are autonomous, and at the same time that we do appreciate their support, so does how the different organizations work together. Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. Any other debate on the amendment? Councillor Hanwell?
I just have two kind of questions, comments, possibly. The first one, I may be totally off, but with point 8, undergraduate student associations, like in the PSLA, I don't know if they call them undergraduate student associations, so I don't know if it matters between differentiating student associations composed of undergraduates versus undergraduate student associations, big deal. Probably something better. But the second one is number 9, also the other comment making it potentially stronger, saying that faculty and department support will, or like, the Students' Union will seek faculty and department support when it is given or where applicable or something like that. I'd like to know what you think about that as well.
Thank you. Councillor Hodgson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just like to get something clarified on point 8. Student associations, what does that specifically refer to? Does that refer to bodies such as the SU or SU and faculty associations or student groups in general? Okay, it's there. And as well, I would like to reiterate Councillor Hanwell's point on number 9. I think the wording could be maybe a bit stronger.
Thank you. Councillor Graham?
I also noted kind of like the ambiguity of undergraduate student associations in Boston Break, but I also like ambiguity. I'm an English person. So I think, because I can't think of an undergraduate student association of any kind that isn't an autonomous organization that exists to advocate for the students they represent. So I think it's good to stick to the way it is. And same with the number 9. I don't know what to say about that. I just think it's fine. But I would be cool if that got amended.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay. It's trickier in here because we don't have the microphones to turn on and off like the council chambers, so my apologies if I preemptively cut anyone off, just cut me off. Vice President Woods.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to address both those points. Student associations, that is the legally binding term that the TSLA uses to refer to us as a students' union. We are, in the eyes of the government, a students' association, so that is where the origin of that term comes from. It's just a legal term to indicate a students' union. I would also add to the second point on point 9, I understand the member's sentiment about ambiguity, and if people want to tighten the language, I would understand that. I would, however, just simply note that these are principles. The committee can interpret them in whatever way they choose, and arguably we could tighten this up a bit if need be. So realistically, the wording isn't the important part at this stage. It's just simply whether or not you agree that a principle about faculty department support being appreciated by the students' union and student organizations should be a point. Also, just touching back on 8 briefly, a member brought up whether or not it's something that we need to indicate that undergraduates and associations are autonomous organizations. Speaking as VP External, I would say absolutely 100% yes, we need to do. There are numerous people out there, whether members of the public, whether members of faculty, whether members of the university administration, who feel that students' unions should have no right to speak for students, period, and we need to constantly be fighting against that. That's one of the main things that I'll be bringing forward to the PSLA, is there are certain sections where, as I said, we report to the universities in some ways. We need to clarify that just to, as I said, we should be accountable to our students, our constituents, and to the government. That's it. We should not in any way depend on or require the university. We should be autonomous in that sense. So, thank you.
Thank you. Vice President Chellen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the questions around the definition of the student association are really important and valid questions. I think for Councillor Mills and I, we left it ambiguous on purpose. You listed out the student associations that this would apply to. You include campus associations, the Students' Union, faculty associations, departmental associations, program associations, and affiliated associations. One commonality between those, they all include the word association, and they all have a formal representative role for either university or Students' Union policy. So I think for Councillor Mills and I, the language of undergraduate student associations was most flexible, gave a clear reference to the fact that we were referencing all those groups of association in their title that have formal representative roles without listing all the different variants. In terms of a stronger point 9, I think that certainly that's possible and certainly reasonable. Heck, I would argue for more autonomous, more supported, more informed student representatives any day of the week. But I think that stating appreciation, that it doesn't believe it's necessarily the university's role to support or actively enhance the representative ability of student groups, but rather state our appreciation for it is a good medium and a realistic and achievable outcome. So I think, summarize, ambiguity, not particularly. It's just setting a class of student group that's clearly understandable, and we can clarify in second reading the policy. And for number two, it's a middle ground.
Thank you. Councillor Mills.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to address some of the concerns that have been brought up. As I'd like to echo what Vice President Challen said about the appreciation. There are some departments and faculties that currently don't have a positive relationship with their student organizations or don't support them, and I think just showing that we appreciate their support when it is there is a positive step forward. Instead of demanding that they support our organizations, I don't know if we exactly have that position in the university to demand these faculty departments to, you know, divert resources that are already strained, whereas appreciation is more of a positive note. And I think that the concerns brought up around the first point with the student associations have been well covered by the VP external. Thanks.
Thank you. Any further debate on the amendment? Seeing none, we will call the amendment to question. So again, it's the entire section in the late ads. All those in favor of the amendment? Any opposed? Okay, that motion is carried. We are back to debate on the main agenda. I believe, Councillor Patel, are you having down? Did you still want to speak?
Yeah.
Okay, Councillor Patel, go ahead.
There was a question about number six, student representative positions should not be eliminated. We didn't really talk about this in policy, but I just want to say that for faculty and administration, I think it might be easy sometimes for them to disregard us and remove our positions if they wish to. I don't have any concrete examples for this, but I'm just saying hypothetically. So I think that's why we made it very explicit and very clear that we do not want these positions to be eliminated. So that's just the response to that.
Thank you. Further debate? Vice President Challen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll reply to a previous question around number four, definitely fairly inequitably. I think that what we're thinking is a level of treatment where student representatives are treated as though they would be, say, a faculty member on a committee or an administrative member on the committee, where they're given the respect, the privilege, the speaking privilege, the resources, accommodations, and that they aren't excluded from the certain sections of governance activity if an administrator or a faculty member wouldn't. So that they are treated as though they had an equal voice and given equal opportunity that a faculty member or administrator would. That's how I interpret fairly equitably, and if council's comfortable, that I think it can sort of fit into second readings of the policy.
Any further debate? Seeing no, hang on, is that debate?
Yes.
Now it's for
thank you, Mr. Speaker. Something I literally just thought about, which I'm not sure if something to include this policy might be a little bit late at this point, but I see no point addressing the fact that student governance or participating in student governance helps to basically enrich the student's education. Just in my own case, my participant in student governance has been the highlight of my undergraduate career and one of the things I find most valuable about it. And I don't see any point kind of, unless I'm blind, addressing just the fact that student representatives really grow and can learn very valuable skills and that can help them later on in life from student governance. Maybe that's covered in a different policy, but there's nothing really talking about the benefits, just kind of preserving.
Thank you. Councillor Graham.
I also think that being a representative is a great thing. But it's like one thing that I noticed is that that's sort of, I don't know, just like student representatives are just like an extremely small minority of the students on campus. And I guess it's one thing that I think the policy committee should look at. Something else is just like some kind of how to get students involved in governance in a way that isn't like focused on structures of like representation that take away people's like own autonomy or whatever. I just don't like representative democracy in general. So that's that coming up. But I mean, I agree with Councillor Hodgson, but I think that it's also, it's misleading in a sense that such like a small fraction of the individuals who, like the individuals who are involved in governance, like the students like totally benefit from it, but it's like those are just such a small fraction of the students. It's kind of misleading, and I think that ties into like a lot of our problems that we have with like the political climate or like the political culture that we have on campus, and like our problems with student engagement, and how a lot of the student engagement is just limited to like just the structures of representation that we have set up within the university. So it'd be cool to see policies of like some more things around like direct democracy and stuff like that, and I think that's something that the Department of Research and Political Affairs is looking at. Maybe I don't. Anyways, I just thought I would highlight that for me. But I don't have anything against the policy or whatever. But.
Thank you. Any further debate? Seeing Councillor Hodgson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to make an amendment.
Okay, go ahead.
I'd like to add the following clause to the first principles, that students gain educational benefits from participating in student governance.
Give me one second. I'm just going to load up words that I can... Colin wasn't here or anything. Give me one sec while I reconnect Colin. Oh, he is here. There we go. Sorry about that. Could you say that once more, sorry?
Students gain educational benefits from participating in student governance.
Benefits in...
From participating in student governance.
That? Okay. All right. Thank you. Do we have a seconder for that amendment? Councillor Binchik, thank you very much. Councillor Hodgson to introduce.
So, like I said previously, this is something that is not currently reflected in the proposed first reading as stands. I have to
yes. Perfect. Perfect divide. So now go ahead and debate.
So this is something I think I don't know. Would really like some feedback on this. Also, not super attached to that wording because I was trying to like this before the vote started. But I think this is something possibly important to reflect in this document, as it's, like I said, in my own experience, this has been one of the, I would say the highlight of my university career, and honestly, things I learned through participating with the SU in governance are much more valuable to me in real life than what I did in physics.
Thank you for the debate on the amendment. Councillor Graham?
As I said, I agree. I think it detracts from the general intent of the policy. I think that students engaged in student governance are there to make decisions and be part of a decision-making process. I think definitely they gain educational benefits, but I think that the point that we should be promoting is that students have a legitimate, coherent and authentic voice to present already, and that we don't want to give the impression that it's just like we're kind of just there to like have our first shot at like dressing up in a suit and talking with the big boys. So, and I think it puts an inappropriate focus on the students that are actually engaged like in these student governance positions and not in the students who are supposed to be represented. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor Patel.
If we were to change the wording, would that mean we need to make a motion to amend that?
You're saying if you want to change the wording of this? Yeah, so you could make an amendment to the amendment. Okay.
Vice President Woods.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd also like to speak against this amendment for the same reason that Councilor Gray had just iterated. Nothing more needs to be said.
Okay, just give me 1 second. I'm going to paste the or copy the amendment over to the Skype folks. Thank you, Councilor Champagne, for pointing that out. So again, just for the record, the amendment is out of principle. It says students gain educational benefits from participating in student governance. Excuse me. Councillor Binchik, were you wanting to debate? Further debate on the amendment, we will call the amendment to question. So again, to add a principal, students gain educational benefits from participating in student governance. All those in favor of the amendment? Councilor Binchik, the point of parliamentary inquiry?
So because right now, in the second reading, the policy can still change the wording.
Yes, the policy can change the wording as long as it reflects that principle. So it isn't necessarily tied to that wording, but it has to reflect that specific principle. Along with any others, almost. So again, all those in favor of the amendment? Any of these abstentions want to be noted from the Skype folks? Okay, no, not noted. Okay, was there any? Okay, sorry, all those in favor? Okay, you guys got to stay up or down, or else I don't know which way you're going. Okay, thank you. All those opposed? That motion carries 11-6. With that, we are back to debate on the main motion, item 6B as amended. I'm sorry, yes, Councilor Patel?
Can you explain what policy needs to do with this? Like, can we change the wording of this and put it in the principles, or what does the policy do?
You're talking about when if it passes first reading and is sent to policy committee for second reading drafting? Or?
Well, this statement is now in the principles, right?
That's correct, yeah.
So just as is, we can't change it.
Yeah. So just like all the other principles, when it goes, if it passes first, if the main motion passes first reading, and it goes to policy to be drafted, policy committee has to ensure all of those principles are reflected in their change. Okay. Any debate on any further debate on the main motion as amended? Councilor Graham.
I'll be voting against the main motion due to the inclusion of the amendment just passed.
Oh, no. Actually, you got away with one, too, because I didn't realize you were on your third speaking term, but that's okay. any further debate? Seeing no further debate, we will call the main motion to question as amended. All those in favor of item 6B as amended? All those opposed? Okay, that motion carries. I'm not sure what that little dance is that Councillor Mohammed put on his Skype thing. Nevertheless, that motion carries. With that, we are at the end of our order paper, and I would look favorably upon a motion to adjourn. Councillor Greenhan, seconded by President Kuzmu. All those in favor? That motion carries. As always, we will end with attendance. President Kuzmu.
Present.
Vice President Chellen.
Present.
Vice President Woods.
Present.
Vice President Lay.
Present.
Vice President Lau.
Present.
Governor Kelly.
Present.
Councillor Patel.
Present.
Councillor Borden.
Present.
Councillor Mills.
Present.
Councillor Hanwell.
Present.
Councillor Mr. McCruse for Councillor Bannister.
Present.
Councillor Chavone.
Councillor Mohammed, still here. Councillor Grulke. Or I can't remember what Petros called it, but Councillor Minarski. Councillor Valdez. Councillor Corbett. Councillor Redmond. Councillor Hamid. Councillor Morris. Councillor Nguyen. Councillor Champagne, still here. Councillor Speakman, Councillor Hodgson, Councillor Huang, Councillor Zing, Councillor Grahan, Councillor Binchik, Councillor Douglas.
Yep.
All right, we are adjourned at 7:25. Again, I would encourage you to pick up one or multiple council scholarship nomination forms and nominate one of your fellow members of council.
And just a quick reminder, William and I will have our laptops here in case you want to sign up for.
I'm guessing it pops.
Yes. Folks, there was a question about whether you could email the nominations. You need to get the signatures sort of manually. If you want to type out your supporting document, you can. Just make sure it's no more than one page double-spaced. Okay?
Thanks.
You can nominate. Executives can nominate. They just can't be nominated. But you can nominate. Yeah. Nicole, did you get the wording for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that just something added at the bottom?
Yeah, just add an extra.
Yeah.
And of course, those other two passed. Adding a list of committee memberships in here, because that could come up.
I like
that. Thank you.